This chapter was taken from the Food and Feelings Workbook, written by Karen R. Koenig, Chapter 7, titled Helplessness. Helplessness. Who put my brain in a straitjacket? Helplessness is one of the most challenging feelings we encounter for a few reasons. First and foremost is the most intense physical and emotional discomfort it provokes. Moreover, we may fear that if we don't keep helplessness at bay, it will lead to other seemingly unbearable effects, such as hopelessness and despair. Another reason that we try at all costs to avoid feeling helpless is that our lack of control is like a small death, a nasty reminder of our insignificance in the larger scheme of things, and a big chunk of existential angst to swallow. On some level, we all want to believe that we're immortal, and accepting the fact that from dust we come and to dust we shall return can be difficult. Paradoxically, we both know and fight this truth. The primary difficulty we have with feeling helplessness, however, is that it often arises along with other challenging emotions and may be confused with, overshadowed, or masked by them. Although these emotions may also remain unacknowledged or unidentified, feeling helpless is far more easily missed or misinterpreted. Why don't I recognize helplessness? Helplessness goes unrecognized in part because other effects are more familiar and dominant. Disappointment over not getting the promotion you were promised. Anxiety that you'll miss your plane. Panic after you've left your purse in the cab. Shock that your apartment has been burglarized. Grief when someone you love has died. Fear that you're being stalked, or anger when your teenager takes the car without permission. In each instance, notice how your helplessness takes a back seat to more recognizable and tolerable feelings, rescuing you from deeper, unfamiliar pain. Take a minute to imagine two cartoons, one of someone feeling anger or high anxiety, what I call rescue emotions, and another of someone feeling helplessness. The angry person might have a beet red face and be large or oversized, about to burst. The anxious one might radiate kinetic energy and be running around in circles. But the helpless person would be tiny or shrunken, perhaps cowering and even colorless. Anger gives us a charge, priming us to take on the world. Anxiety generates a dynamic sense of activity. Both cover and disguise our impotence. No wonder we welcome them as rescuers. Although perfectly natural, when you fail to recognize and acknowledge helplessness and instead experience and express anger or anxiety, you're not doing what's best for yourself in the long run. Anger, also felt as irritation or impatience, often puts people off, while anxiety takes its toll on body and mind. Moreover, by leapfrogging over helplessness, you lose a valuable opportunity to experience the entire spectrum of emotions and to effectively deal with whatever problem is at hand. For example, let's say that on the day you're about to move into a new apartment, your landlord calls to say that her current tenants refuse to leave and that it may take weeks to get them evicted. Your mouth drops open as you flash on your box of belongings and the U-Haul at the curb. In a rage, you may chew out your landlord and threaten to call a lawyer. Or anxious that you'll end up homeless, you may start babbling a mile a minute. Note that both anger and anxiety are a reaction to your initial experience of helplessness. Remember that your emotions are there to get your needs met. Anger simply will not do the job because its intensity and tunnel vision cloud clear thinking. Anxiety or stress inflate the situation, often taking a minor problem into a major catastrophe. In both cases, your so-called rescuers actually get in the way of successful problem solving. As long as you keep helplessness hidden under your mental rug, more familiar and tolerable emotions will keep popping out and leading you astray. Although you may dread that connecting to your helplessness will cause despair, you must bear the feeling to learn what it has to teach you. Tolerating the very snuckness or perilous you're fighting against is the only way to achieve clarity and effectively address your problem. I know it's a great deal to ask that you not give in to more tolerable feelings, but you'll have to deal with your powerlessness and impotence sooner or later. So why not when they first occur? If you're someone who generally leads with anger or who panics at the slightest twist in the road, You'll have to pay special attention to see if these feelings are authentic or if they're camouflaging helplessness. My bet is that 9 times out of 10, it's the latter. Stop and feel. How are you feeling about learning to sit with helplessness and not converting it to anger or anxiety? How do I know if I'm feeling helpless? Many people go through life battling helplessness at every turn without ever knowing it. The experience causes you to feel trapped, stuck, paralyzed, like a deer caught in headlights. You feel vulnerable, useless, irrelevant, insignificant, and occasionally invisible. When the emotional tension gets to be too much, it can easily turn into anger, anxiety, or even despair. However, when you stop fighting it, helplessness will eventually lead you to a better place. Surrender and acceptance are solutions that will empower you. Either way, ride out the feeling and you'll eventually be able to move on. Practice exercise, connecting to helplessness. Purpose to help you connect to feeling helpless. Rationale, by practicing experience helplessness, you'll learn a lot about the emotion, especially how to identify it by physical sensations. What you need? A room with furniture in it and a good imagination. Directions. Look around the room and find something you positively cannot do, such as touch the ceiling without jumping, or using anything to stand on, or open a locked door by pulling at it. Pretend that you're in a life and death situation and must complete this action. Once you've found this undertaking you know you can't do, try to prove yourself wrong, without hurting yourself, please. If you're trying to touch the ceiling, keeping your foot on the floor, stretch as tall as you can. If your goal is to get that locked door open, pull on it with all your might with one hand, then try it with two. Try to forget that this is an exercise and work on connecting to what helplessness feels like, especially how it feels in your body. Reflection, to be done after completion of exercise. Were you able to pretend hard enough to get in touch with feeling powerless? What sensations did you notice in your body as you tried your impossible task? What was the hardest part of the exercise? What is the purpose of helplessness? Helplessness lets you know that a situation is not in your control, and there's little or nothing you can do about it in that exact moment. Think of it as energy conservation. Of course, the helplessness you feel when someone you love dies is different from when you arrive late to pick up your car at the garage and find a closed sign on the door. In the first instant, there's nothing to do but acknowledge that you lack the power to bring back your loved one. In the second example, although you may initially feel helpless, there may be actions to take. Knock on the door or peek in the windows to see if anyone's still around. Call the garage on your cell phone or have a friend come get you. However, just because you make every attempt to empower yourself doesn't mean you'll find a solution. In the end, you may still be helpless and powerless, and temporarily carless. In addition to being completely inevitable and unavoidable, helplessness teaches us modesty and humility by reminding us that we're mere mortals and not gods. It puts us in our place by making us feel tiny and insignificant, as if we're of no consequence at all, and challenges our childish but understandable wish to be the center of the universe. It's just not possible to always have our way, or our say, or be in control. Perhaps helplessness is a way of preparing us for our most inevitable loss of control, death. Beliefs about helplessness. Because rational thinking leads to rational behavior, it's essential that you build a belief system that's sound and healthy. Here are examples of irrational thoughts turned into rational ones. Irrational belief: I should always be in control of my life. Rational belief: It's natural not to be in control of life sometimes. Irrational: I can't tolerate feeling helpless. Rational: I can't bear feeling helpless in any other feeling I have. Bearing helplessness is hard, but doable. Irrational: Feeling helpless means I'm incompetent and inadequate. Rational: Feeling helpless does not necessarily come from incompetence or inadequacy. Irrational: If I could control my life, I'd be happier and wouldn't have an eating problem. rational. I can be happier with my life and improve my eating without having more control. Irrational. I can't help overeating or undereating. Rational. I can practice eating normally and overcome my food problems. Irrational. Other people need to change so I won't feel so helpless. Rational. I can't change other people, but I can change myself and feel less helpless. Now it's your turn to transform your irrational beliefs into sound, functional ones. Take your time and make sure each new rational belief feels right for you. They should be concrete and written in the present tense using an active verb. Feel free to use the list above, but make sure you come up with some of your own as well. Why is helplessness so unbearable? You have only to think of the times in your life when you had no real power to answer to this question. As an infant, unable to recognize and label emotions, you nevertheless felt every sensation to the depth of your highly impressionable tiny being. And in those first few months and years, the sensation you felt most frequently was helplessness. In adulthood, you might think that your infant self was disappointed when it wanted to be picked up and no one came, even resentful when its food source was nowhere to be found. But remember, in order to label emotions, you have to be conscious of them, and your baby self lacked the brain structures to perform higher order thinking. You are aware of overwhelming primitive effect and nothing more. Pleasure or pain, comfort or discomfort, gratification or frustration. So one critical reason that helplessness feels unbearable is that it involves exceedingly intense negative sensations stored away in your memory bank from a time when you could not understand or control your emotions. The memory of this potent, overpowering effect may get triggered every time you're in circumstances in which you lack control, even when it's over minor irritants, like forgetting where you put your car keys or running out of detergent. Moreover, as a vulnerable infant, you are flooded with other sensations along with helplessness. Terror, panic, alarm, powerlessness, and being overwhelmed, not to mention the physical discomfort of being wet and hungry. With repetition, these feelings got encoded together in your brain, so that now it's practically impossible to feel helplessness by itself, that is, without fearing loss of control and associating with something bad happening. Two other natural companions to feeling helpless or hopelessness are and despair. If you feel scared and powerless long enough, you'll eventually doubt that things will ever get better and you may want to give up. How much hopelessness and despair you experience depends in part on the situation and on how long and how often you were helpless while growing up. If you were attended to and given comfort and gratification in a timely manner, you learn that the feeling does end and that things generally turned out all right if you can just wait it out. On the other hand, if you were neglected or couldn't depend on the people in your life, you may fall into hopelessness and despair fairly quickly now when things don't go your way. In fact, it's often not the impotence or stuckness that's so unbearable, but the dread that it will never end. I hope you now understand that helplessness feels intolerable because it catapults you back to your weakest, most vulnerable moments. No wonder anger and anxiety seem like the perfect antidote to paralysis. But remember, the better you are experiencing being helpless and letting it move you toward acceptance or problem solving, the less often you'll need to call upon rescue emotions or focus on food to alleviate your pain. Stop and feel. What are you feeling right now? Practice exercise. Help for helplessness. Purpose, to learn to regulate feelings by changing self-talk. Rationale, when you tell yourself, has a direct bearing on how you feel and act. Change the message and you will act and react differently. What you need? Memories. Directions. Think of a recent instant or one from the past in which you felt extremely helpless. Paint a vivid scene in your mind and pretend you're back there right now. Intensify your effect by what you tell yourself. For example, it's too scary, I can't bear it, this is going to turn out awful, life isn't fair. Notice how what you say escalates your suffering. Now de-escalate by saying soothing things. For example, I'll get through this, I can bear it, this too shall pass. I'm going to be all right. And giving yourself physical comfort. Hugs really help when you're feeling helpless. Soothing self-talk. Reflection to be done after completion of exercise. Does your self-talk generally soothe or exacerbate your helplessness? When you pay attention to negative self-talk, are you able to change it? How might you minimize escalating chatter and maximize self-calming? Can I avoid feeling helpless? Neither you nor anyone can avoid feeling helpless occasionally because life is unpredictable and much of it is not in your control. Natural disasters will occur randomly and unexpectedly. People you love will die, will grow sick and old. Those who hold power over you will exercise it. Accidents will happen, and fate will knock the best laid plans off course. Everyone experiences moments or periods of helplessness, the heavy-duty price we pay for renting space on this planet. Although you can't always avoid helplessness, you don't need to court it. You can be thoughtful and far-sighted, consider the short and long-term consequences of your actions, and plan your life accordingly. Flexibility also helps. If you're driving a pre-mapped route and come across a barrier in the road that says danger, finding a detour rather than driving straight ahead makes sense. Similarly, a healthy combination of sound planning, common sense, and flexibility will go a long way toward eliminating a good deal of helplessness. But it can never eradicate it all. Buddhist philosophy speaks directly to this point in teaching that there are two types of suffering, voluntary and involuntary. Involuntary suffering is universal, what every human being must endure, and includes some of the threats to emotional and physical security that I mentioned earlier, such as natural disasters, accidents, illness, and death. Voluntary suffering, however, comes from attachment to outcomes, for example, wanting. Now, of course, there are all sorts of wanting, and everyone wants different things. Season ticket for the Knicks, for your child to be happy, a meaningful career, to live long enough to see your grandson graduate from law school, for Brad Pitt or Nicole Kidman to fall in love with you, or a slice of key lime pie. Big differences. The nature of wanting is a partial predictor of the degree of potential suffering and your consequent feelings of helplessness. If what you want is rational and realistic, you may be able to avoid the pain of not getting it. If, however, what you want is irrational and completely pie in the sky, you might be setting yourself up for big-time disappointment. Being thoughtful and a good planner helps. Just remember that there are no guarantees, and as the bumper sticker says, shit happens. The best you can do is, 1, accept that if you're going to remain alive, you're bound to experience occasional feelings of helplessness. 2, learn how to recognize this challenging emotion. And 3, become skilled at bearing it. A wonderful adage is to hope for the best and expect the worst. Spending your life trying to avoid feeling helpless is like spitting into the wind or trying to hold back the tides. What is natural and inevitable will always win out. One particular kind of helplessness that you can avoid, however, is called learned helplessness. This term means exactly what it says, that in your childhood you were taught to act as if you were helpless when you really were not. This may have happened when you tried to take charge of your life and your autonomy was curtailed because it threatened your parents. To please them or avoid rejection or punishment, you may have had to act incompetent, inadequate, dumb, or dependent. If this was the case, you probably did what children generally do to gain approval and avoid punishment. You adapt it to your parents' wishes. Today, you may act helpless, even when you're not in order, to get attention or approval, or to avoid punishment and withdrawal of love. Think about it. Do you succumb to learned helplessness? Practice exercise. What to do with helplessness. Purpose: to recognize when you are truly helpless and when you're not. Rationale: it's essential to understand the difference between needing to accept a situation or finding solutions to change it. What you need? A pen. Directions: write your responses under the columns below. In the first column, list the things that cause you to feel helpless and truly are unchangeable and unfixable. In the middle column, jot down situations or circumstances that you may think of as unalterable, but which you really can do something about. In the last column, write your action responses to fix the problem. The goal is to reduce column 2 and expand column 3. Reflection. Were you surprised that there are things you can do to alleviate feeling helpless? Were you equally surprised that there are things that you just plain have to accept? What was it like to try and distinguish the two? Did coming up with solutions make you feel more empowered? How does feeling helpless drive me to focus on food and weight? Zeroing in on food when life zigs instead of zags is more than a distraction to drive away powerlessness. For every diversion, you could go to a movie or take a walk, call a friend, or read a book. In food, you are seeking not only a change of focus and a lessening of pain, but also a way to defy helplessness. There are so many ways that we are at the mercy of the fickle finger of fate that it sometimes seems that we're in charge of equals a big fat zero. Your friend cancels out on a ski trip at the last minute, and you're left with nothing to do all weekend. Your son gets into a fight at school, and you need to leave work for the principal's office when you plan to spend the afternoon catching up on paperwork. You return from the doctor's office having been diagnosed with a cancerous tumor, and there's no one home with whom to share the bad news. In each of these situations, you lack power over a troubling situation and may feel an utter loss of control. For disordered eaters, this is where the trouble begins. You may feel and truly believe that the only thing which you can exert control is food and your weight, so that is where your energy goes. You can't stop life from running its course without consulting you, but you can decide what to put or not put into your mouth. Focusing on food gives you the false sense of being in the driver's seat, whether you're counting calories in your head or whizzing up and down the supermarket aisles assembling a feast for one. As a restrictive eater, you may react to life's unruliness by exerting control over your body and its appetites. Excessively restricting food intake and preoccupation with weight is your way of trying to balance or cancel out being buffeted around by waves of change you cannot control. You may not have a say when the world is crumbling around you, but you can feel in charge by being hypervigilant about about the way you eat. Self-discipline, self-restraint, and self-deprivation are all the best attempts to combat lack or loss of power. Unfortunately, they only destroy your health and damage your psyche. Real power comes from sound judgment, being able to go with the flow, and having a receptive ear to your emotions. When you're in over your head, true wisdom comes from knowing whether to float or swim. As an overeater or binge eater, you may find comfort in shopping, cooking, feeding, and cleaning up. Keeping busy through eating provides a misleading sense that all is well. But generally, a driven anger and resentment underlie out-of-control eating, as if the very acts of cutting and slicing and chewing and swallowing can prove who's boss. Alternately, giving in to unaffected eating may also be a way of acting out powerlessness. You saying, "It doesn't matter what I do, so I'm going to give up and eat whatever I want, even if it makes me sick." Notice that all-or-nothing thinking that insists you're in control of everything or nothing. We all want to be the master of our fate, but keep down, most of us know it's not possible. Finding anchors in life can help when you're feeling especially topsy-turvy. Anchors are things such as friends, passions, meaningful work, and being part of a larger community. Things which generally remain static and stable, even when you're being bounced around like a load of laundry. The more stability you create in your life, the better you'll be at handling the moments and situations when you feel like just so much Flotsam and Jetsam. In summary, no one could blame you for fixating on food when you're feeling helpless, but doing so will only pull you farther and farther away from what you really want. Effective problem-solving skills, a healthy body, respect for your appetites, and to reach your life's goals. Further exploration. 1. What body sensations do you have when you're feeling helpless? 2. What feelings do you use to cover your helplessness or rescue from it? For example, anger, anxiety, or stress. 3. What is the hardest part of feeling helpless? How large a part do hopelessness and despair play in your avoidance of helplessness? 5. What do you believe is the purpose of helplessness? 6. How did your parents handle helplessness and how did that affect you? 7. If you suffered a great deal of involuntary helplessness as a child, how might this experience affect your ability to tolerate helplessness today? 8. Do you suffer from learned helplessness? If so, give some examples. 9. What are your secondary feelings about experiencing helplessness? 10. How can you become more aware of helplessness driving you to eat or control your food intake? 11. How could you handle helplessness more effectively? This completes this chapter of reading. Please feel free to review materials as needed, and thank you for listening.